We turn in our Bibles, if you have them with you, or look up at the screen to our gospel reading for this morning. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 46. These verses are from Mary, the mother of Jesus, as she sings a song, a poem, a very beautiful group of verses sharing God's will for her life and how she praises him for it. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Here ends the reading. Well, good morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning.
Last week got a haircut at Tiffany's. She does a pretty good job. You need to all go over there. We were talking. She's gotten to be pretty good at talking. And while we're talking, she said, "Oh, I remember some of the Christmases you've done in the past, and especially one where you had a sermon on Mary." And I said, "Yeah?" She says, "Yeah, you ought to do it again because the old people won't remember it." And the rest of you weren't here. So I'm going to do a sermon on Mary again, Tiffany, just for you. But it's going to be a little different than the one from a few years ago. Because when you think about it, Mary and Joseph and the wise men and the shepherds and even the innkeeper all had a date with destiny that night. And the question that Mary had to answer for herself was, "Will I abide by God's destiny for me?" And that's really the question that comes out at us in our reading for this morning. In Luke chapter 1, it says this, Mary's story. "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel said to Mary, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be." Please understand me. Mary was hardly out of diapers. She was only 13 or 14, and she had been involved in a prearranged marriage by her parents to a guy named Joseph through a long period of betrothal, ending up in an engagement. She was a virgin about ready to be married. When all of a sudden, an angel appears to her, just materializes out of nowhere, and there hadn't been any angels materializing for hundreds of years. This angel materializes before her and says, "Mary, I've got a plan for you. You're going to really not believe this, but God is going to do something really fantastic. He's going to send to you the Savior of the world. He's going to come in human form. He's going to come as a baby into this world. And by the way, you're going to be his mom. And Mary says, say that again. Actually, in the Bible, it says she was greatly troubled. And then the actual Greek transliterated literally is she was scared to death. Mary was greatly troubled. I mean, wouldn't you be if an angel appears to you out of nowhere and says you're going to have a baby? Some of you would say, yeah, that would be a real miracle. She hadn't even had a course on sex education yet, but she knew this much. She knew that she was a virgin and she kind of had figured out about the birds and the bees and didn't know how this was all going to work out. And then she began to think, and if it did happen, who'd ever believe it, that it was a virgin conception? What would her mother say? What would the kids at school say? What would everybody say? And Joseph? Ah. So she knows from the get-go that she's in way over her head. She's afraid. It seems like any time an angel appears in the Bible to somebody, they are afraid. And so the angel Gabriel, one of the few times one of the angels is mentioned by name, Gabriel, says to Mary, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You'll be with child and give birth to a son, and you're going to give him the name Jesus. He'll be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. And Mary is saying, how can this be? I'm a virgin. And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, not the Son of Joseph. Son of God. And even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. That'd be John the Baptist. And she's already in her 6 months. And here's the thing you might want to underscore and write in your notes, all kinds of notes in the backside of your bulletin. For nothing is impossible with God. An angel says that. For nothing is impossible with God. Mary was favored by God because she trusted God completely, was willing to accept God's destiny for her life. You hear her response. Mary responded to the angel, I am the Lord's servant and I'm willing. This is the key. I am willing to accept whatever he wants. I'm willing to accept God's destiny for me. May everything you have said come true. And then the angel disappeared. That's faith. That's faith saying yes to God's destiny for her. I mean, it wasn't going to be easy. People would misunderstand, misconstrue. Joseph was ready to divorce her. It was all tough, but she was willing to go with what God said was best for her life. And when we try to wrap our heads around how she could do such a thing, fortunately she left us in the Magnificat, which we just read, the gospel, which is sung in many churches and part of the liturgical settings. These 10 verses, they give us 5 reasons why we can be sure God's destiny for our lives is best for us. And so this Christmas season, Mary gives us a gift that's priceless. She gives us these words. First of all, we want to accept God's destiny for our lives because God made you for his purpose. Do you realize that you are unique, that you are an innovation? That you are a singular, that nobody else is like you. It's that God has made you special. God never makes anyone or anything without a purpose. And he has made us for a purpose. He's put us on planet Earth in this area of the valley, in this church this morning, for a purpose. And it's our obligation and joy to discern from God what that purpose is. He's put Emmanuel here in Clovis for a purpose. And it's up to us as spiritual leaders not to create mission statements and vision statements that are of our origin, but to be in our knees down on the ground in prayer seeking God's vision for the church. And when we learn God's vision for this church, we learn God's vision for our lives, then he'll bless it because he has made us for a purpose. Not only has he made us, but he has saved us. Mary points this out. She says, my spirit rejoices in God, my what? Savior. She hadn't become a robot for God. She got to fulfill her destiny. She said yes to it. She got to. She didn't have to. And when she did that, she realized she's doing this because God is her maker and God is her savior. She's saying that this is the purpose for her life. This is why she was put on planet Earth. And she's happy about it because it's what God intended her to do with her life. Here's the thing. When it comes to life planning, I think a lot of Christians act like atheists. They accept God's plan for their salvation, but then they think, well, now that I'm saved, I can just go do whatever I want to do with my life. I don't think so. You think God put us on this planet without any purpose in mind? I don't think so. Do you think that God set us here in Clovis at Emmanuel so we can just live life however we think we should do to get into retirement and just do whatever we want to do with our life? I don't think so. God made us for a purpose. And who better to trust our destiny with than the one who made us and the one who saved us? And that's our first reason. The second reason is we want to accept God's destiny for our lives because no one cares for you more than God does. No one cares for you more than God does. Judy, do you remember that old song, Willie Nelson song, You're Always On My Mind? Can you just sing it? Yeah. Yeah, I got the words here in case you flub up. Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have. Maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should have. If I made you feel second best, girl, I'm sorry, I was blind. Maybe I didn't hold you all those lonely, lonely times. I guess I never told you I'm so happy that you're mine. Little things I should have done and said, I just never took the time. But you were always on my mind. You're always on my mind. You know what I think of this song? I think it's poppycock. I think it's crazy. This guy didn't have her on his mind much at all. I mean, when she needed him, he was nowhere around. When she was having trouble, where was he? Now I'd say something, you know. I love my wife, Karen. We've been married for 25 years now. And she's a doll. She's a sweetheart. She's my second golden retriever. Wait, her hair even. It just. No, I love her. She's great. She's great. And I think about her a lot. But she's not always on my mind. Not always on my mind. I wish she were. But truth be told, I mean, I'm sinful. I think about me a lot more than probably I think about her, right? I mean, don't we think about ourselves a little bit? I love my kids. I love my grandkids, but they're not always on my mind. Sometimes they are. Many times I'm thinking about In-N-Out Burger or something. You know, you think about other things. Here's what God says. Psalm 115:12. The Lord is constantly thinking about us and he will surely bless us. 1 Peter 5:7. Give God all your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you. We have somebody who's always on our mind. God is always thinking about us. We're always on his mind. And Mary knew that. Mary knew that God was always looking out for her. And I'm sure that she had figured out it was going to be tough. It wouldn't be the easy road. But she would always be on his mind. I mean, she knew she was always on his mind. And that's why she would say, "For he has been mindful of the humble estate of his servant." Mindful of the humble estate. That's me, Mary says. I like what it says in Matthew 10. Not even, this is Jesus talking, "Not even a little sparrow can fall to the ground without the Father noticing it. The very hairs of your head are all numbered." The very hairs of your head are all numbered, Justin. Even if you conceal them and shave them off, they're all there. All the hairs on your beard are numbered. All the hairs in your nose are numbered. All of them numbered. We won't go any further. Mary says, "I can trust God with my destiny. I'm willing to go with his plan because he made me, he saved me, he's paying attention to me." And then third, he says, "That is the key to blessing." Accepting God's destiny for my life is best because it is the key to blessing in my life. The key to being blessed by God is to go God's way. Have you ever noticed that? If you want to be blessed financially, then put God first in your finances. You want to be blessed in your relationship, put God first in that relationship. If you want God to bless you, then seek out his destiny, the destiny for you. She would sing, Mary would, "From now on, every generation will call me blessed. For he, the mighty one, is holy and has done great things for me. For he chose me, and God will show his mercy to every generation." She says, this doesn't end with me. It's not just blessing me. He's going to bless everybody who worships and serves him, who follows God's plan for his life. Because this isn't just Mary's destiny. This is about God's salvation plan unfolding and using you and me in this church as part of the process of unfolding God's salvation plan to the world. God comes to us this morning and he says, "This day I have set before you life and death, blessings or curses. Now choose life, that you and your children may live." God has brought us this far. He's given us this much faith. He's given us a church family to help us grow in life in Christ. And now we get to respond by fulfilling the destiny he's given for us. And then fourth, Mary says accepting God's destiny for our life is better than any plan that we can come up with because God honors humility. The Bible says this, "Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up." And that's how Mary ends her song of praise, the poem there. She says, "God has displayed his power with many mighty deeds, but he has scattered the people who are proud and think they're the great ones. He's brought down mighty rulers from their thrones, but has raised up the humble." What a beautiful song written by one so young. You know, I was watching television the other day, and I saw Taylor Swift. What do you think of Taylor Swift? And she's quite the young lady, isn't she? Did you know that at age 10, she made her first song, and then by age 14, Sony Records had already contracted with her to write songs? Age 14. Now we got Mary. Now you have to remember, when Mary had Jesus, she was 13, 14 years old. She wasn't 20-some, 30-some. She was very young, 13, 14. And she had written this poem, this song, 10 verses that share 17 attributes about God with 10 Old Testament Bible passages she puts in from memory. You see, Mary had been readied for this service to the Lord. She had been in her Bible. She had been in a family that opened up their Bibles and read their Bibles to one another and to their children and to their grandchildren. She had been in such a household where she had committed to memory God's Word. And because God's Word was in her heart, God was able to do something with her and use her in this humble fashion. And then finally, accepting God's destiny for my life is best because God keeps his promises. This is the fifth thing Mary sings about. God keeps his promises, he says. And he, God, has kept the promise he has made to our ancestors. Now, what's that promise? That the Christ would come, prophesied in the Old Testament hundreds and thousands of years before he came, and has come to the help of his servant Israel. He is remembered to show mercy to Abraham and to all his descendants forever. What's she saying? Mary's story begins hundreds of years before Mary was born. She was prophesied about by the prophet Isaiah. Hundreds of years before, in Isaiah 7, it says this, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign of the coming of Jesus. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive." He predicted this thousands of years ago. "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. The destiny of Mary's life began thousands of years before Mary was even born. And the same thing is true for you and me. Before we were a twinkle in our Father's eye, before the foundations of this earth were laid, God already knew that you would be here this morning. He already knew that you would have whatever faith you have in your heart. He knew the family that you would have. He knew the people that would be around you. He knew the church that you would be worshiping in. He knew all of it before even this earth was formed. He knew you would have faith in Jesus and that you would have a destiny to carry out. God had you in his mind, and he still gives you the choice this Christmas time to accept it or to miss what he planned for you before you were even born. Mary's destiny was planned. She accepted it, and the truth came that the Savior was born. He came to earth. God did keep his promise, and Jesus did come at Christmas. And then he died on the cross for us. Now, it's an interesting thing that nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to celebrate Christmas. You'll never find it anywhere in the Bible. Not once. But we are told over and over again to celebrate his death and to celebrate his resurrection. Because if Jesus hadn't died on the cross for the sins of the world, if he hadn't been raised from the dead to show that he had overcome sin, death, and the devil, and by believing in his name that we would have the right to become children of God and live forever, then we would have no reason to celebrate Christmas. But tomorrow night, we're going to be celebrating Christmas. And we celebrate it because the Savior has come, and his name is Jesus. Shall we rise and join together in prayer? Heavenly Father, I pray a blessing on all of our church today. I pray that you'll bless them with the grace of Jesus, the love of the Father, the power of your Spirit. And as we go out this week, considering what our commitments to you are, what's going to stretch our faith, may we not miss the moment of destiny, the turning point, the hinge point in our lives, that there be no stand-byers, only participators who say, "I'm in, Lord. I want to do your destiny. I want to stretch my faith." So I ask you to protect our families this week. Protect their health, protect their businesses, that you keep your promise, that your blood will never lose its power, that you are our Savior and our Lord. For this we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray too that in your compassion and love, that you would enfold your healing balm of mercy upon those who are sick and recovering, injured and recovering. We pray for our homebound. And then we pray for all those that we don't have in the bulletin, but we have in our hearts. And we just offer their names silently before you now. Heavenly Father, as we ready ourselves for one of the high times in the church year of celebrating the Christ child's coming to earth, our Savior, as we prepare our hearts and ready ourselves with all sorts of gifts, may his presence in our life give us joy and peace during this busy season. Give comfort and safety to those who are traveling this week. Be with those in our military and our peace officers, that you keep them out of harm's way. We pray that you would bring sense to our government, that it may continue to be run in an orderly way to assure the safety and livelihood of everybody in this nation. Amen.